You know I love that organic cooking. I always ask for more. And they call me Mr. Natural on down to the health food store. I only eat good sea salt, white sugar don't touch my lips. And my friends is always begging me to take them on macrobiotic trips. Yes, they are.
Oh, welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show. I wonder if Richard Dugan was just my producer, chose that song because of my annoying discussions about my veganism. I bet you that's why. Anyway, welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallen, S-A-L-L-A-N, S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sams, who is our next guest. Pastor Drew Sams has been a pastor at Calvary Community Church for the last 6 or more years. He and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California, and they are the proud parents of their first son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Always great having me on. I appreciate it.
We had a little social media exchange this morning when I saw a gorgeous picture of you and baby Judah Andrew on Instagram. And therefore, that will be my lead-in to the first thing we always talk about, which is the health and welfare of We Need a Song. And Richard, we got to have a cue. I'm counting on you. Let's have a cue next week for the health and welfare of baby Judah Andrew Sams. And then, okay, your
song and dance. I want to hear you dance in the background while that ditty comes on. But Judah, love it.
That's a mouse tap dancing, in case you were wondering. Okay, I'm sorry.
Love it, love it. But Judah is doing wonderful. And I love how here you are. This, I think it was about 7:30 this morning. I sent a picture of my son and I, Judah, 9 months old now. We were up hiking. It was beautiful sunrise, mountains in the background. And I just put it on Instagram view from the top, and immediately you commented, looking forward to seeing you live on the show today, and here we are. And I love being able to share those moments with you.
Well, I'm going to now do a TMI. I was sitting on the throne at the time, and just sitting there looking at the phone, and that's when I saw the picture. So if you want to picture that in your mind, I would suggest not. Let's talk about the topic. We're talking about men versus women. And we're talking about sex. And as we did last week, organically, you know, Wayne talked about it from a man's point of view, the men's work, and a little bit from his spiritual beliefs and very non-religious beliefs. I mean, just kind of, you know, New Age and all that. That's kind of what he believes. And that's obviously his privilege, and I respect it. And then we ended up talking about gratitude from a more biblical religious point of view, what Christ would do, what God would say, etc. So I'd love your thoughts on the column, the ideas, and this general subject about the difference between men and women as the Bible, Christ, God, and you believe.
Yeah, boy, what a great topic. What a needed topic. I think there's so much confusion today. Here we are just starting off 2013. We use words like men and women, and we talk about gender differences. In some ways, it's a really loaded discussion today.
And, yeah, I know, if you're not politically correct. You know, look at the incredible, stupid blowback that happened with the game with Alabama and Notre Dame. Okay, Brent, whatever his name is, notices the quarterback's beautiful girlfriend and calls her beautiful and lovely. And notices her mom and says the same thing, and look at his beautiful mom. And he's been castigated by the political correct police for simply noting that Miss Alabama, who competed in beauty contests, happens to be the girlfriend of the quarterback. So what?
Yeah, there's so much political incorrectness and, you know, topics that we have to tiptoe around that I think for a lot of young men and women growing up today, we're really confused. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman?
Well, we've talked about that before. That, I think, is a horrible outcry of our time's outgrowth, and particularly the political correct stuff, and particularly, ironically, the growth of women and the freedoms that women have, to some degree, at the expense of men. I mean, it even started with Title IX. I mean, men's sports have been decimated by Title IX, and at the same time, a lot of wonderful opportunities have been given to women. So men are getting really lost in the shuffle. So I would wonder, you know, is Is sex on college campuses, is sex in high school really different from, at least when I went, which is, you know, a million years ago, and you went only about 15 years ago. So what would you say? I mean, you used to be the high school pastor, so you obviously had plenty of contact with high schoolers. And again, would love any biblical thoughts you have.
Yeah, you know, there's so many complications, whether it's on the political level, on the pop culture level, or even one-on-one in a counseling session. And what I always like to steer people back to is what I believe is the foundation for who we are and how we've been created and who this God is that created us. And so my source is the Bible. And so I go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there's this account in the first chapter of Genesis, and it gets all the way to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I want to read this because
please.
It's really, really important. It says this: "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky.'" Da, 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 da. Then it goes on, it says this is my point. "So God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them," plural, "male and female, he created them." So there's something that's so important for us as humans to understand is that we've been, A, created in God's image, but even more importantly, that we are only reflecting God's image when there is both male and female.
Oh my gosh, are you being politically incorrect?
Of course I am.
Oh, how could you be so politically incorrect? Because men and women are the same. Didn't you study at college? Didn't you go to women's studies programs?
Well, we'd like to believe that, and of course, you know,
I don't want to believe that.
I agree, and because I think it distorts at the very core of who we've been created to be. And
wow, it's really profound.
When there's that distortion, then I think we choose to live for the shadow of what the real thing is just is reflecting. You know, God has offered something real and tangible, something so beautiful. And like any shadow, of course, if you reach for the shadow of, let's say, a car, you'll never be able to drive the shadow. You know, as much as you try to sit in the shadow of a car, no matter how beautiful it is, you'll never be able to really experience the car.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually have to get into the tangible vehicle. You got to open the door physically. You got to step in. And the same is true in these relationships, a male and a female, which together most fully reflect the image of God. And there's so much complexity, so much diversity, so much distinction, and so much oppositeness between a male and a female that actually not only enhances who we are, but it enhances who God is.
Hmm.
And I think to limit men and women to the category that, well, we're just the same, I think then we have this distorted view of God as our creator then as well.
Wow, I could not agree with you more. We're nearly out of time, but I'm still kind of digesting your quote from Genesis because it is in Genesis, which is very early on in
yes.
the Bible.
You know, this is before any reference
yes.
to any brokenness. This is before do not do anything. You know, this is right at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, that's what I mean. I mean, so those words in that place, I mean, not that any words in the Bible have less significance, but to me, they've always had more significance in the first chapter. Wow. Good stuff, Pastor Drew. Need a whole hour on this, as we often do, and we're out of time. So where are you not blogging these days?
Well, yeah, it goes by too quick, and I still have not gotten online blogging, but you can go to any of the social networks. My handle is Surfer Drew.
Okie dokie, Pastor Drew, maybe by the time Judah is 1 year old, you can start blogging again.
That's a good goal.
I would
Let's
set that. I'm giving you 3 months.
All right.
Because you write and speak so beautifully, the world needs more of it than just my show.
Wonderful.
And my show and your church, I should say.
Love it.
All right, talk to you later. Stay tuned for Dr. Jennifer Weberman and The Women's Room after these messages. Mm-hmm.